Oh, man. I give God praise. Thank you, praise team. Oh, what a good God we serve. I want to just greet everybody in the name of Jesus. Good morning. Those of you that are here in the sanctuary, as well as those that are listening and tune in online, we welcome you. And for those of us in the sanctuary, you may take a lot for granted. There are a lot of people that are tuned in every Sunday, Wednesday. We've been getting quite a bit of feedback. They're being blessed, and we give God praise. So I want you to shout and say, hello.
Hello.
And that's to all the people on Facebook, online. We just want to welcome you and thank you for joining us. Let's get this word out. And God is good. Well, we are on the first Sunday of October. Do you believe that? Wow. You should be giving God praise just to be here. Yeah. The new normal now is to compare everything with 1 year ago, you know. So I'm thankful to God because he's been good and he's been faithful. And we ought to just be thankful. This month is also a very special month. September is great, awesome, which allowed me to go into October and meet the love of my life. And this year, we'll be celebrating together 40 years. Hello. She's looking gooder than ever. I know we got some teachers and stuff in the house going to tell me my grammar is bad, but she's getting gooder and gooder. Amen. Amen. Let's go to the word, shall we? Ephesians chapter 6. You ought to know where we're going by now. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'll put you on notice. After we've left here today, I want you to go back to this verse because there's a lot in it. There's a lot in it. We can't unwrap everything today, but there's a lot in it. And as we continue a series fitted for the fight, we've got to get fit or we're going to be blown away. I read now from Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. I'm reading from the New King James Version, and it reads like this. And take the helmet of salvation, here it comes, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let me read that one more time. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Father, we are so grateful. We are thankful. You are so awesome. Thank you for the time that we spend together, Father and Son, when no one else is there. And as the songwriter says, when no one else understands and no one else will walk, you will walk with us and you will talk with us. Now we pray that you'll be pleased with us and honor us, Lord God, not only with your presence but with your power. Change us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray with thanksgiving. Let the church say, amen. I always want you to give God praise and never take him for granted. So come on, give God praise in this house. Give him praise in this house. You may be seated in the house of God. It is just a wonderful day. I hope everybody has his or her Bible. It's fine. Scriptures are displayed on screen, but it's also important that you have your own scripture so that you can follow along with us. We've been in this for a little while, and we want to thank God that he continues to show himself faithful. You notice how often that word comes out? Faithful. God shows himself faithful. I thought about how to introduce today's sermon, and I find myself going to aviation. When a plane takes off, it needs a control tower. The control tower can see what the pilots cannot. The pilots have a limited vantage point. They can't see underneath or above them. The pilots, even with all of their sophisticated instruments, can't see all the weather conditions that will affect their flight plan. The folks in the control tower can provide information the pilot would need and would not otherwise have because of their limited vantage. Somebody say limited vantage. Well, the Word of God is the control tower for the child of God, where we have only a limited vantage point. God's Word can communicate to us what is going on in the spiritual realm that we can't see. I want somebody to know that there is a spirit realm. And there are a lot of things going on in the spirit realm that we cannot see. But the Word of God gives us the ability to maneuver our way through life. And God is able. I want you to take your Bibles in hand. Even if it's an iPhone, even if it is on your phone, because what makes the Bible is not what it's on. So I want everybody to lift your Bibles. I grew up with a little chorus called My Bible and I. What a wonderful treasure. Anybody remembers it? All right, lift your Bibles up and say this with me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. I will read it. I will study it. I will believe it. I am what God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And by the grace of God, I'm more than a conqueror. Give God praise in this house. The Bible. There's another chorus that I grew up with. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes. That's the book for me. Some of you are like, what are you talking about? I don't ever heard that. Well, yeah, the Bible is the Word of God. I want to give you an acrostic for Bible, B-I-B-L-E. It's basically this: basic instructions before leaving Earth. Earth can refer to your home. Earth can refer to anywhere you are. And so we need to understand how critical the Bible is. We are talking today and lifting up the theme, the third of the Spirit. Say that with me, the third of the Spirit. The third of the Spirit is the Word of God. The third is a weapon used for both defense and offense. The word is used both to protect and to fight off and slay the enemy. The sign of the Christian soldier is his use or her use of the Word of God. And so by living in the Scriptures, the believer protects him or herself from the onslaught of the enemy. And he fights and wins battle day after day after day. If you are a child of God and you know the reason and the purpose and the importance of the Word of God, you can fight battles after battles, day after day, and win after win. Somebody give God praise in this house. Because if you don't know God and you don't know the Word of God, you are going to be tossed about. You are going to be like a puppet. But I thank God the Word of God is able to keep us. The Word of God is able to establish us and make us strong. Somebody ought to say strong. I want you to remember Jesus, our greatest example. Do you remember how he warded off the attacks of the enemy? He didn't say, hey, you don't know who you're messing with. I am the Son of God. He didn't say that. What he did when the devil came to him is that he went back to the Word. And he said to Satan, it is written. Now, you can't quote the Word if you don't know the Word. And therefore, it is critical that every one of us understand that no matter how smart we are, there's no way we can ward off the enemy unless we have the sword of the Spirit. The written Word of God is one weapon that assures victory for the child of God. For the Bible itself says, the Word itself says, the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, I want to share with you some Greek words for the word word. And it's important that you hear this because God is able to use his word in so many different ways. When you read the scriptures, when you read the Bible, God makes his argument through many different ways. And so one word we have for the word of God is logos. Somebody say logos. Now that is the written word, and it's an appeal to logic, persuasion by reasoning. And so you would find, for example, Isaiah would quote God and says, come now and let's reason together. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The argument is, wherever there is a design, there must be a designer. And so, logos is the written word. But then there's the word pathos, which is an appeal to emotions. It is creating an emotional response. I want you to understand that we are emotional creatures, that nothing is wrong with emotions. And God will cause us under conviction at times to respond in remorse, which is an emotion. And so the Word of God has the power to appeal not only to our logic and reasoning, but also to our emotions. Then there is the word ethos, which is an appeal to ethics. Ethics, convincing based on the character or credibility of the persuader. And you would hear the Word of God says, in the beginning, God. There is no way of trying to prove. He just simply states, in the beginning, God. And when God wanted to convince you that what he's saying is true, he swears by his own self, God. We can trust the character of God because he is faithful. And so when you understand that, you also hear the word theos. Somebody say theos. And it basically and simply means God has spoken. Now, I don't care who else speaks. I need a word from God. Do I have a witness? Is anybody here with a desire to get a word from God? That is what's important. And then there's the word rhema. Rhema. Now, rhema is the spoken word from the written word, but it's very particular. It is targeting a case or a situation or a person. As the old folks would say, God, give me a word suited for my case. I believe I have somebody in here who can testify that I've been somewhere in church or even at home listening to the Word of God, and I can swear that that preacher, somebody told him because he was all up in my business. What happened was, the same word that you may have read, the same word that you may have read, somehow God takes that word and directs it to your case. As the song says, he leans in your direction. So God knows your address. God knows your name. He knows your street and he knows your situation. Finally, there is the incarnate word, which is the living word, which is in fact Jesus Christ himself. John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. Thank God for the word. Now, I want to take you through, because you may have heard me use some words other than the Bible or the word. The word of God, the Surd, is also called in Nehemiah 8:3, the book of the law. In Psalm 1:2, it is called the law of the Lord. In John 5:39, it's called the scriptures. In Romans 1:2, it's called the holy scriptures. In Hebrews 4:12, it is called the word of God. In James 1:21-23, it is called simply the word. Philippians 2:16 says, it is the word of life. And Revelation 22:19 says, it is the book, the book. What I took you through was an understanding that no matter what words you use, God's word is powerful. God's word is alive. Now, the word of God, let me help you understand, is the only sufficient, certain, and infallible rule of all saving knowledge, faith, and obedience. What does that mean? In other words, it is how we as people are saved. It is how we have the nature and the saving grace of God, and it's how we live after we are saved. Then I want you to pay attention to the word sufficient. The word sufficient means this, that Scripture contains all we need to know. It deals with every possible issue that you could ever face, and therefore God does not supplement the word itself by inspiring any other agency. I want you to hear me today. Although the light of nature, that is natural intelligence, and the words of creation or the works of creation and the providence of God all manifest the goodness, the wisdom, and the power of God so much that the scripture says that man is without excuse, yet in and of themselves, they cannot produce the saving faith that will get you to heaven and get you through life. It is only the word of God and God's will that will get us where he wants us to. Therefore, it pleased the Lord at sundry times and in divers manners, different ways, to reveal his God self and to declare God's will to God's church, to God's people. I want you to hear me carefully, because what I'm trying to help us to understand, that no matter what else you hear, from wherever else you hear it, the word of God is the rule of law for the born-again child of God. Listen, I don't care how convincing a preacher is. I don't care how beautiful and great his skills are. Unless he is grounded in the word of God and teaches and in fact stays true to the word of God, you have no right to follow him. I change, you change, but the word of God never changes. God is not going to change his word to suit you. God is not going to say what you want to hear. God will say what God says, what you need to hear. And so even when you don't like it, as the Bible says, we gotta, as preachers, preach the word in season and out of season, because the word of God is relevant to any age. Somebody ought to give God praise. Every now and then we gotta revise all the books that we write. But the word of God remains true, never mind what anybody says. And afterward, for the better preserving and propagating of the truth, and for the more sure establishment and comfort of the church, protecting it against the corruption of the flesh, which is man's ideas, and let me say this, that man's ideas will always spoil the church. unless our ideas are grounded in the Word of God, we as human beings will always mess up what God has established. And so what we have a lot today is people making a whole lot of rules to control others that have nothing to do with God and His Word. I want you to hear me. I want you to hear me. So let God be true and every man a liar. I want you to fasten your seatbelt here. I'm going to trouble the waters for a minute. Sooner than later, as a believer, as a child of God, as a person of faith, sooner than later, you will face a crisis of belief. What you see and what you feel and what you experience will contradict what you heard from the Word of God. At some point in your Christian journey, at some point in your Christian life, you will struggle with the authenticity of the Bible, whether or not it's the Word of God, and you will have questions even about your faith. And let me say this, how serious it is. You will never be able to move on until the question is settled. Now, most of us are familiar with the late Dr. Billy Graham. And I watched a documentary just the other day on his life. At a very critical point in his life, Dr. Billy Graham faced what is called a crisis of belief. What happened was his colleagues, men and women of the faith, were beginning to question whether or not the Bible is the Word of God. And so Dr. Billy Graham found himself at a point where he began to wonder, is it real? Is it real? Is salvation real? Is faith real? Is this book real? And he talks about the fact that many nights he couldn't sleep. He couldn't rest. In fact, he moved away from preaching. You may not know this, but this is truth. He moved away from preaching, and he could not preach this word until the question was settled. Let me say this to you. Let me say this to us. No matter who you are, once you are a person of faith, a child of God, you will at some point in your life face a crisis of belief. And you haven't lived long enough as a Christian if you have not come to that point. Let me see the hands of those who are going to be honest and say, there were times in my life when I had to question whether or not this is real. Come on, lift your hands if you're going to be honest in the house. At some point in your life, especially during suffering, especially during quote-unquote misfortune, especially when things are going contrary to what God told you, you're going to find yourself questioning. And let me say this, don't fight the struggle, go through the struggle. Because until that question is settled, you will never be able to move through life with confidence. And so at the end of his struggle, Billy Graham said, I decided to go ahead, study the word for myself, go through all I could go through with all the helps I could go through. And then finally, I said to God, I don't understand everything you say. There's nobody who ever understands the whole Bible. God, I don't understand how it all works. But then I believe in you and I know you and I trust you. And so I believe that this Bible is your word. And I stand upon it and I will preach it. And if I'm wrong, it's because you're wrong. And Billy Graham speaks about how that night he went to sleep and he woke with a peace that released him. You got to know it. You see, a lot of people are coming up with all kinds of stuff now. And if you are not grounded, you are going to be swept away. That's why I'm taking the time to show us that we got to get fitted. And it's not going to be fancy. It's not going to always be glorious. Sometimes you got to dig in. It's going to rock your boat. And that's why the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. At the end of the day, you've got to submit it all to God and say, I trust you. That's what faith is, forsaking all, I trust you. And I know by experience, thank God I know for myself, that I can trust God because he's faithful. Here's a point of clarity. The infallible rule for the interpretation of Scripture, because somebody is struggling right now, is the Scripture itself. And therefore, whenever there's a question about the true and full sense of any Scripture, which is not manifold but rather one, it must be searched by, understood in the light of other passages, which speaks more clearly. In other words, if you read some part of the Bible that's confusing and seems contradictory, what you don't do is try to find somebody else. What you do is dig into the Word and find another passage that makes it clearer. Because the Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept. No Scripture is of private interpretation. God defends himself. Why is that good? Why is that important? Because in this battle, in this fight we are in, if you don't have that assurance, you are in trouble. So now let's take this down. The third of the Spirit. The third of the Spirit, to show you how powerful it is described as one pure. Somebody say pure. Psalms 19:8 says, and I paraphrase, that the pure Word of God gives us insight for living. I don't know about you. Have you ever struggled with a decision? Have you ever struggled with a situation trying to figure out which way to go? In fact, you can testify, as I can testify, there were times in my life when I was struggling with which way to go. And then I opened the book, the Word of God, or I listened to a preacher, or I heard somebody singing the Word of God, and all of a sudden, that which was foggy became clear. The Word of God is pure, given insight for living. Notice also in Psalms 119 and 11, the Word of God is restraining. I go back to one of my old songs from way back, my Bible, and it says the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. And what the Word of God does, it restrains us. The psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let me show you how real it is. This is a true story. One of my pastor friends was telling me about a new convert he had in his church. Before knowing Christ, he was a thief. He, well, used to take things that didn't belong to him. And so this one day, he was walking by the street. In fact, it's so real, it was here in Tortola. And as he looked over, it was summertime, he saw a mango tree blooming with mangoes, but it was in a fence. It was surrounded, which means this is not a wild mango tree. This is somebody's place. And so, as a new Christian, he found himself, but he knew enough of the Word, he found himself about to go into and over the fence. And my preacher friend tells me, as the brother related the story, he says, as soon as he put his foot and was about to go over the fence, the Scripture says, let him that stole steal no more. He found himself pulling back. The problem with most of us is that when God convicts us, we still go on. But the Word of God restrains us. You can save yourself a whole lot of trouble and a whole lot of heartache and a whole lot of money by simply listening to God as he speaks in his Word. But notice also with me, Psalms 19 and 7 says the Word of God is perfect. Perfect, reviving the soul. Again, there are times when I'm drained. I don't know about you. If you live where I live, life can drain you. Everybody pulling on you for something. There's so many demands around you. But every now and then the word of God serves as a reviving source. And the scriptures tells us that God will revive us. And the songwriter says, revive us again. And there's another song that says, there is a balm in Gilead. I thank God for the balm. Sometimes I read this word and I'm soothed. I'm just made well just from the word. But notice also with me in Psalms 111 and 7 through 8, it says, the word of God is sure. Sure, which means the word of God is good and the word of God is trustworthy. I need to pause there for a minute. Because in this day and age, you can hardly trust anybody. You can hardly rely on anybody. What was your best hope becomes your worst nightmare. Come on, tell me. What was your greatest joy has now turned into your greatest sorrow. You can't trust people. People are fickle. People change ever so often. But I'm glad that the word of God is sure. It is good and it's trustworthy. But follow with me real quickly. Psalms 119, verse 142, verse 151, and 160 all tell us that the word of God is truth, which means it's settled. What does that mean? It means whether you believe it or not, it's settled. Whether you like it or not, it's settled. Whatever God says is what God says it is. And we used to say, the Bible is true. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. You need to scratch that out and say, God said it, it's true. Whether you believe it or not. But I thank God your life can be changed if you believe it. Somebody give God praise. Well, watch this. There's no other book that has been under so much attack as the Word of God. Down through the years, this Word, the Bible, has been under attack. It's been burned. You can burn the physical copy, but you can't burn the Word of God. You can kill all the people that believe in it, but you can't stop faith from moving. In other words, I am glad that the Word of God is enduring. Isaiah 40 and 8, it means the Word of God stands forever. Everything else passes away. Everything else fades. But the word of God stands. 100 years from now, the word of God will stand. I go to Africa, the word of God stands there. You go to Australia, the word of God stands there. You go to Brazil, no matter wherever you go, the word of God stands. And let me just say this, it is just amazing that no matter where people are, once they believe in God, they have the same confession that he is Lord and he is faithful. What a God we serve. I'm coming down, but I'm taking my time here because I need you to get settled. The Word of God, which I referred to earlier, is not only enduring, but it's effectual. And Dr. Mike, I want to encourage you, and Minister Gonzalez and all the preachers in the house and all the believers in the house, I want to encourage you with this. The Word of God is effectual. I know sometimes we preach and teach and we figure nobody's listening, nobody's getting it. That's not true. That's what the devil wants you to think. Here's what the scripture says, that the Word of God is so effectual that it never comes back without producing whatever it was intended to produce. I find so much courage from this, that even if I'm preaching to one, God says, my word is effectual. It has the power to change one just as it can change 1,000. It has the power to move through all barriers. God's word will not return void. And that's why I like the part of the song that says, his word is a seed. It's a seed. And the seed of the word has been sown in your heart today. You may not know it, but God's word is taking root in your heart. That's why I tell folks, if you got somebody that you can't change, expose them to the word. If you got somebody that's giving you hell, expose them to the word. And no matter what you think, that word, once it takes root, will change that person. I've seen the word of God change an alcoholic, a drunkard. I've seen the word of God change prostitutes. I've seen the word of God change liars and thieves and make them beautiful. That's the power of the word. And so I don't need a whole lot of fancy stuff. As long as you get the word, I know you're going to be all right. You may resist it, but you can't overcome it. Watch this. Not only is the word of God effectual, but it's also, according to Ephesians 5 and 26, it's sanctifying. In simple, everyday English, it means the word of God cleanses. It cleans you up. We are sanctified through his word. If you got a dirty tongue, read the word, study the word, memorize the word, quote the word, say the word, and I guarantee you, you'll find your tongue gets clean. If you have bad habits, go into the word, read the word, study the word, confess the word, and I guarantee you're going to find your habits changing. That's the power of the word. It has the ability to change and to clean up. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed to the word of God. I'm just about there. The word of God in Acts chapter 15 and verse 15 says, the word of God is harmonizing or harmonious. Now, it never ceases to blow my mind how over 40 different writers, some never knowing each other at all, over generations wrote the book of God. But notice how powerful the word of God. Even though you have all these personalities, the author of the Bible is not these men and women. The author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. And so no matter what their experiences are, there's a harmony in Scripture. Wow. And that same harmony can cause peace in your heart, peace in your home, and peace in our nation. I'm getting there. 2 Peter 1:21 says, the word of God is inspired, basically meaning it's God-breathed. I want to make a bold statement. The Bible does not just contain the word of God. The Bible is the word of God. If you're struggling with that, you're going to struggle. You go out there to fight, you got to know that what you're fighting with is reliable. Finally, Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is living and active. It's dynamic, which means it's not static. I don't know about you, but I'm sure everybody here may be able to relate to this. Have you ever read a particular passage of Scripture, well-known Scripture? You've read it maybe 100 times, but it looks like every time you go back to that same Scripture, something new. Okay, let me talk to these folks here. Have you ever read? Have you ever read the Bible? I mean, you know a particular verse. You've heard it over and over again. But every time you go to it, something new comes out. That is the word of God, alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the scripture continues to say, it divides. If you want to know the intent of a man's heart, even though his actions seem right, if you want to know his motive, you don't have to hire a PI. Just get the word. Put him up against the word of God, because the word of God not only measures what you say, it measures why you say it. It knows the intent of the heart. So now we close. As we close, I close with this. Especially in bigger countries where there's a lot of traffic, and we do it here too, even with our little traffic. People listen to the traffic reports before heading to work. So they can find out about the conditions that they can't see. These traffic reports are normally provided by a person in a helicopter who has a very vantage point because he or she is flying high and can look around and see what you and I cannot see. The proof that people listen to traffic reports is shown in how they decide which route they're going to take. I guarantee you, and we've had this here, when we had the fire down in Seacoff Bay, folks listened to the news and heard that there was a big fire and decided by advice to go a different route. Because of what you heard that you couldn't see, you took a different route. There's a message in all this. Because James talks about not only hearing the word, you've got to do the word. People don't just listen to the traffic report for listening pleasure. They listen to get information in situations they can't see themselves. Well, I'm glad to tell you this. As Christians, we need eyes that we don't have. And God has a greater vantage point and provides that information in the Bible, in the Word, in the Scripture, in the book. And that Word of God can prepare us to face anything, anything, whether today, tomorrow, or whenever. My concluding word to us is this. Let's take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and be fitted for the fight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand. We set the foundation today. And I want all of us to make a pledge, especially if you are a child of God, to read this book, study this book. And a beautiful way is to come to refuel on Wednesday nights. We are doing the series on forgiveness. And I guarantee you that a whole lot of people are struggling with this matter of forgiveness. Come and hear how you can be a better person. It's not pie in the sky. It's life here and now. I don't know what you are facing, what you are struggling with. But I will submit to you, just like the pilot, no matter how skilled you are, no matter how many instruments you have to your disposal, there are still some things that you cannot see that only God can see. I'm going to ask you to trust Him. Let's bow our heads. If you have never trusted Christ, we always want to give you an opportunity to do that. If you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior, I want to invite you to do that. Right where you stand, right where you sit. One of the things I've noticed in Scripture, the people that God called, He always called them publicly. Take a stance for Him. And so I want the church to pray as we are about to close this part of our service. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray for your neighbors and the people around you. Pray for this nation. But please take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is not only an offensive weapon, it's also a defensive weapon. And I guarantee you, the things that you are struggling, the mountains in your life, you can watch them dissipate by just saying what God says. We'll develop that some more next time, where you can actually experience the healing power of God in your life just by saying what He says. Father, we thank You. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this sword that you've given us. We are not defenseless. We are armed. We are protected. And while others are using witchcraft, high science, old bear as we know it, cheating ways, lying ways, deceptive ways, whatever they use, all we got to do is to stay true and faithful to your word. And your word is powerful. We can experience victory after victory, day after day, just knowing and living your word. May we do that today and for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.